Welcome to our Sunday message, Sunday the 28th of April, 2024. We just pray to get started. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We thank you that it will bless us as we open our hearts to receive it. Guide us, I pray, as we discuss these wonderful truths that are found in your word. May they find root in our hearts. May they produce fruit in our lives. And may they equip us to bless others for the extension of your kingdom. We ask this in your wonderful name, the name Yeshua. Amen. Praise God. I just want to read three scriptures to start with. As I read them, I think it will become clear what we're going to be discussing. The first one is from Ephesians chapter 2 verse 14. That's Ephesians chapter 2 verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are afar off and to those who are near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. The second scripture I'd like to just read is from the Gospel of John, John chapter 14, verse 27. Here the Lord says these words, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Final scripture from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 26, verse 3. "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." The title of this message is Perfect Peace. It's important to realize that God wants you and I to enjoy peace. Many people long for peace in their lives. There's a true incident of a meeting that took place between Cecil John Rhodes and General Booth of the Salvation Army, early last century. Cecil Rhodes at that time was a very wealthy man, mining magnate, industrialist, empire builder, and they were in a carriage in London, apparently, and they were having a discussion, and Cecil John Rhodes said to General Booth, "I would give anything to have your peace. I would give anything to have your peace." General Booth at that stage, being the habit of those in the Salvation Army, had very little in the way of material wealth. And yet this very wealthy man is saying, "I'll give anything for the peace that you have." Obviously, Cecil John Rhodes recognized that this man of God was enjoying a peace which he couldn't understand. Now, the truth is that God has made his peace available to every single human being. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. If we understand the peace of God, we can know that it's available. You and I do not have to walk through this life troubled. Now, this is a very important message because, as you and I know, this is not the case in many people's lives. Many Christians, in fact, do not experience peace. It's been our experience. And we need to change this. You see, we haven't got a message for the world if we ourselves are not enjoying the fruit of the very message that we want to share with them. Christ said of himself that he was the Prince of Peace. And if he is our Lord, please know, Christian, that you and I are entitled to enjoy peace, irrespective of the situation we might find ourselves in. Now, you see, we've got to understand what this peace of God actually is. It is a sense of contentment. It is a feeling, but it's not the same as what the world presents as peace. Note what the Lord said, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you." If you and I, as children of God, are trying to get peace the way the world understands it, we will be very, very frustrated. Because the world's peace is fundamentally different from the peace that God has for us. In the world, what peace means, generally speaking, is absence of any inconvenience, absence of any difficulty, absence of any threat. Actually, at the very root of it, the world's idea of peace means absence from any fear. And you see, when we try to rid our lives of any form of threat or inconvenience or whatever that might upset us, it makes it very difficult. Because you see, we don't control everything. And no matter what steps we take, it doesn't matter how high you build a wall, it doesn't matter what insurance policies one takes, and we're not saying these things are bad necessarily. It doesn't matter what precautions you take to remain healthy. You and I cannot control. We are not in control of the world in which we live. Things happen. Life happens. And you see, if we live with some form of fear in our heart of any kind, we can kiss goodbye to peace. And if we want to try and avoid it, it will almost be like chasing the pot of gold at the foot of a rainbow. Every time you get there, it moves on. There was a wealthy man who, whenever he shook hands with anybody, would make sure that he put a glove on his hand. He was so afraid of contracting sickness or disease. In trying to be free from that fear, he actually put himself in even more fear. It's a downward spiral. And that's the reason so many people suffer from depression in our society. Sad to say, many of them are Christians. It's unnecessary. But you see, we've got to understand something. The peace that God can give us, it surpasses any form of peace the world can offer us. By the way, it's far deeper, it's far more profound. And it's totally independent of any circumstance. But we've got to understand the heart of peace. The heart of peace, from God's perspective, is connection. Connection with Him. The heart of worldly peace is the absence of fear. If we understand the difference, we can be set free of a lot of things. We've got to understand that peace comes from being in contact with the living God. The closer that contact we have, well, let me put it another way. If you've received the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, God dwells inside of us. So you can't really get closer contact than that. Many people say, I want to get closer to God. Well, I understand the sentiment, I understand and appreciate what they're saying. But you see, we don't have to get close to God. What we do have to do is become more aware of Him. It's very important to understand that. And if we understand that God is in us through the Holy Spirit, we understand that the responsibility is not for God to make Himself known to us, although He does by revelation. Our responsibility is to prepare our hearts and open ourselves and position ourselves to become more aware of Him. And as we become more and more aware of Him, we become more and more aware of who He is. We become aware of His qualities, His nature. And we find out that God is love. It's something that we all know, but it's something that we still have to keep on learning about. Because His love is so deep and so wide. But you see, the more you and I are made aware or become aware of His love for us, fear does not have a foothold. Because you see, the word explains that perfect love casts out fear. If we don't have fear, we become closely connected and aware of Him, not distracted by worries, etc., and we can enjoy perfect peace. We read that scripture. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. Now, it sounds very simple, but it's not that easy. It is simple, but it's not something that just happens automatically. What we need to understand is there is a war involved. Why? Because the enemy of our soul doesn't want you and I to have peace. If he can wreck your and my peace, then he makes us ineffective to reaching other people. Because we spend our time and all our energy and our effort trying to get peace. Running around in circles like a dog chasing its tail. God's made it possible for us to have peace. But we need to realize that we have to, as Hebrews says, labor to enter that rest. A lot of people are saying, God, give me peace. Well, the truth is, he has given us his peace. Christ is our peace. His peace has broken down every wall. In that scripture in Ephesians, we understand that this peace comes because the walls of division between us and God have been broken down through the activity of Christ on the cross. Many people don't have peace. The reason they don't have peace is deep, deep down, they're afraid. And they're afraid of judgment. They're afraid of not making God happy or not being acceptable to God. The devil's duty is to try and enforce that thinking in your my understanding all the time. He's known as the accuser of the brethren. His whole objective is to make you and I feel guilty. And when we feel guilty, we feel separated. And when we feel separated, we don't have peace. But let's understand that Christ came and broke down the wall of division. He removed that enmity. There's no condemnation in Christ. No condemnation. We have to receive that by faith, grow in the understanding of it, and the more we do, the more we will enjoy peace. We can grow in this understanding of peace. But I'd like to just focus a little bit on this understanding of keeping our mind on him. I have often explained it this way. As we all know, there are three parts to us as human beings. We are spirit, we are soul, and we are body. Now, very simply stated, the moment you and I are born again, our spirit man comes alive. In Ephesians 1, it explains that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. If you are a child of God, you and I are positionally seated with him in heavenly places. Does that mean the moment we got saved, we got whisked up to heaven? No, not at all. Our physical body remained here on this earth. But if we can understand it this way, our spirit man is in touch with the heavenly realm. However, at this stage, our physical bodies are still very much in touch with this physical realm. And it has to be said that the physical realm is controlled by the enemy of our soul to a large extent. It's controlled in as far as we Christians allow it to be controlled. Now, in between our spirit man seated in heavenly places and our physical bodies rooted here on earth, is our soul man. Our soul man, the seat of our understanding, our emotions, and our will. And you know, I have to grasp the fact that this part of us, which I like to call our conscious awareness, that conscious awareness is continually moving. Continually moving. Now, it's important to grasp that, you see, you and I, to all intents and purposes, albeit that our spirit is seated in heavenly places and our physical bodies are in contact with the world, to all intents and purposes, you and I are where our conscious awareness is. That which we are aware of is where we actually are. I use the illustration of teaching in school. Anyone who's taught children of any age will understand this. You can be standing in front of the class, teaching your heart out, and you realize that little Johnny sitting in his desk over there is not really present. He is physically present, but even though his eyes are open and he's looking at you, you can just see that in his mind he's on the rugby field, probably scoring a try. He's not really there. You and I, we will experience the conditions of the place where we are at. And if you grasp that this mind of ours is continually being dragged from one place to the other, we realize that if our mind is focused on the world system, we will get our information, which ultimately comes from the enemy of our souls and is ultimately negative. If you spend a lot of time listening to the news, I can guarantee that you won't feel uplifted. The truth is, in our day and age, and in any age, you'll come away from that feeling depressed, or at least upset about something. On the other side of the coin, you see, if our minds are focused on what's going on in heaven, on the Word of God, on God Himself, if our minds are fixed on Him, that information affects us positively. And supernaturally, your and my soul man moves. Let me just say that again. Supernaturally, without us even consciously deciding or being aware of it, our spirit man moves between awareness of the world system and awareness of heaven and all the beautiful things that are there. That movement is determined by what information we allow our soul man to receive. Because your and my soul man will move in the direction from which information comes. If we continually absorb ourselves with the things of this world, our conscious awareness will be intertwined with the things of this world, and we will not have peace. However, if we use our will to expose our soul man to the thoughts of heaven, primarily contained in the Word of God, supernaturally our soul man moves, and we can enter into a place where, no matter what the circumstance is, we can experience perfect peace. It might seem a bit far-fetched, but there are many examples in the Bible. I'll just mention one. You might remember the person we know as the very first martyr, Stephen. Stephen was an ordinary Christian in his day and age, but he really gave himself over to the Holy Spirit and was doing mighty wonders, even though he was just a deacon, I suppose you'd call him. He wasn't one of the appointed apostles or anything like that, but he was operating in power. The authorities hated that. They decided to get rid of him. And the long and the short of it is, this man has the misfortune of being stoned to death. Being stoned to death didn't mean people throwing little pebbles at you. No, they put you in a pit and threw big rocks on you until you died. But in the Acts account, you'll notice something. Facing this horrific death, this man looked up to heaven. And his statements were, "I see heaven, I see God, I see angels." Well, the demons in the people around him couldn't handle that, and they got more ferocious, and eventually they stoned him to death. In the process, it was noticed that he had perfect peace on his face. His face was illuminated, and he was heard to say, "Oh God, don't hold this against these people." Even though it was tragic, he died a glorious death. The point that I'd like to make here is that in that horrific situation, despite that situation, Stephen was enjoying peace. Why? Because he was connected with Almighty God. Brothers and sisters, there's a lot more that we can say about this, but I want to leave us with this thought. You and I do not have to put up with living in depression or living in a state of unhappiness. Now, there are many other factors that one has to consider. That is true. And if there's a source of our unhappiness, we need to deal with that. That's a whole lesson on its own. I'm not saying that this is a quick fix solution. What I am saying, though, is that if you and I want to enjoy peace on this earth, our responsibility is to use our will and to drag our minds off the circumstances, not disconnect ourselves from them, not be unaware of them. We're not suggesting an ostrich in the sand mentality, but it's important not to allow the world around us to encroach on our thinking to such an extent that it robs us of our peace. Christ came to give us peace. It's our heritage. But it is our responsibility to focus on what God thinks about things and allow His word to transport us. God's also given us things like praise and worship to help. Enter His presence with thanksgiving. If you and I spent more time praising Him rather than looking at YouTube videos, etc., we'd have a much happier life. Not to say that there's not valuable information that we can glean. So I just want to leave us with this thought. God wants us to be empowered. What we hear is food for our soul. In the same way as whatever we eat is the food that we need for our bodies. If we feed ourselves with bad food, even though it might look tasty, but it might not be nutritious. In some cases, it might even be ultimately poisonous. If we feast on that kind of food, junk food, we cannot expect to be healthy. And the same with our spirit. That mind of yours, that soul of ours, and that spirit man must be fed with healthy food. Healthy food is the Word of God, anointed messages, praise and worship. The more we can involve ourselves with these kinds of activities, the happier we will be. The closer we will feel to Almighty God who's in us, and as our minds are stayed on Him, He is enabled to share with us His perfect, perfect peace. People who study the weather will tell us, when there's a massive tornado raging, the most safe place is right in the eye of the storm. Even though the winds around are howling at 100 and whatever kilometers an hour, inside the eye of the storm, the wind velocity is zero. And that's what God wants for you and I. In a very troubled world, and it looks like the world is going to get even more troubled as the days go by, but we don't have to let our hearts be troubled. If we can learn the discipline of keeping our eyes fixed on Him, use our will to feast on His word, as we do that, we can experience, not philosophically, not theoretically, but practically, emotionally, peace on this earth, the peace that He came to give us. Be blessed in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen.